Thank you, Sandra. Josie will now come and share our morning gospel reading.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
I knew a fella in seminary. His name was Rick. I can't remember his last name. It's been a long time. He had cerebral palsy, and he walked with two special crutches, those kind that brace your arms, come up a ways. But that's not why I remember him. What I remember about Rick is the way he talked about his disability. He said, "I'm fortunate. I know what my disability is. Because everyone has a disability of some kind or another, but a lot of able-bodied people don't know what their disabilities are." I think he meant that those of us who think we are not disabled often don't know what we need. We don't realize our limitations and our weaknesses, our blind spots. We don't know where we need help from other people. That, of course, was not the case of the man in this story we just heard. He knew exactly what his problem was. He was blind. His life was defined by that blindness. His days were spent sitting by the roadside begging for alms, hoping that people's charity would be enough for him to live on. He was supposed to be a good beggar, that is, someone who was barely seen and heard. He was allowed to make his requests to call out for alms, and he was supposed to say thank you for whatever people chose to give him. Beyond that, no one wanted to see him or hear him or think about him. In some ways, this story of Mark is a typical healing story. There's a person who has an obvious physical sickness or disability. They need help, and Jesus responds. But this story is also different in some interesting ways. First, because we know the man's name. That's very unusual in the gospel stories about healings. And I think that very detail lets us know this story is different. This man is different. His name was Bartimaeus. I think we know that because Bartimaeus became known to the community of Jesus' followers after his healing. He became one of them. He became a follower. But on this day, he was just a blind beggar, sitting by the road, begging. And then he heard a crowd approaching. Lots of movement, lots of noise, lots of excitement. He could hear it, he could feel it. And he asked what was happening, and somebody said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth coming by." And as Josie did so well, he shouted out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." This is the only place in Mark's gospel where someone called Jesus by this title, Son of David. It was one of the titles of the long-expected Messiah, Son of David, descendant of King David, the one who was going to restore the people of Israel. And Bartimaeus dared to hope and to believe that this Jesus that he had heard about, this Jesus, might be the Messiah who could set him free. The crowd kept telling him to hush, be quiet, stop. But he just kept on shouting louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. It makes me wonder, when in our lives or ever have we been so desperate for help that we didn't care what anybody thought or said? Have we ever wanted things to change so much that we were willing to defy the norms and shout out to cry for mercy from God or from whomever we feel might be able to make it happen? That's where Bartimaeus was. He didn't care what anyone said. He was going to shout as loud as he could and try to get a response. Jesus heard him and called for him to come. Immediately, the crowd that had been telling him to hush was urging him to go. He's calling for you. Go quickly. And Bartimaeus did not hesitate. He threw off his cloak and hurried to Jesus. The cloak was the one thing he had to protect himself from the rain or cold, and he was blind. He might not be able to find it afterward if he could not see. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Have you ever noticed how often Jesus asks this question when someone shows up in front of him who seems to need healing? Again and again, he did not assume that he knew what the person wanted or needed. He didn't presume to know better than they did what was going on in their lives, as we often do when we try to help people. He asked them what they wanted. Maybe Jesus also believed that people often need to say what they need. They need to put it into words. Maybe Jesus understood that healing only happens when the person needing healing is ready for it. I've often been bothered by Jesus' words, what he so often says when he heals someone, "Go, your faith has made you well." That gets twisted so often into this whole idea that people just have to have enough faith and then they will be healed. But I don't think that's what Jesus was trying to say. I think the point is more that healing's a two-way process, a process in which the one needing healing is just as important as the one who's offering something for healing. Holistic approaches to healing understand this. Physical healing and even more emotional, mental, and spiritual healing is a two-way, mutual process. But Bartimaeus was ready, wide open for healing. He knew what he needed and what he wanted, and he took the initiative, and he put it all on the line, shouting for mercy, throwing away his cloak. He had no way of knowing if that cloak would still be there when he came back. And no way to know if he'd find it, but he didn't care. He left it behind to get to Jesus. Sometimes for us to get the help we need, we have to act like that. We have to throw off our defenses and give up everything that's protecting us. We have to leave it behind and reach out with all that we are. Be open, vulnerable, risk everything for the change that we want, with no guarantees we're going to get it. That's what Bartimaeus did. He threw his cloak aside and hurried to Jesus. "What do you want from me?" "Lord, let me have my sight again." "Go then. Your faith has made you well." That was it. That simple. Those few words, and Bartimaeus' life was changed forever. Just think, the first thing he saw when he could see again was the face of Jesus. And when he was healed, when he could see, he didn't go back to his life or to a new life. No, Mark writes that he followed Jesus on the way that was leading Jesus to Jerusalem, to the cross. Timothy Adkins Jones, who's a Union Seminary professor and a Baptist pastor, writes this month in Christian Century that ultimately this is not a healing story. This is a story about a call to discipleship. He says Bartimaeus may not be the obvious choice for a model disciple, but that is how he is presented in this story. He's able to see Jesus for who he really is. He makes his way to Jesus with a kind of desperate, reckless abandon that cannot be hindered, and his approach includes an expectation of transformation. Bartimaeus recognizes his healing not as something to just be enjoyed for himself, but as a call to discipleship. He chooses to follow Jesus on the road. I'm reminded that in John's Gospel in chapter 9, there's another story of a healing of a blind man. And after that man is healed, the Pharisees come to the man and his parents questioning them about his healing and whether he really had been blind and what had happened with Jesus. And finally, the man challenged them back, saying, "Why are you asking me all these questions? Do you want to be his disciples too?" At which point, the Jewish leaders are enraged and throw him out. Jesus heard how the man had been treated and found him again, revealing more of who he was. And the man says to him, he worships him and professes his faith in him. Then Jesus said these words, "I am come into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees heard this and said, "Surely we're not blind." He said, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But since you say you see, your sin remains." I think this is one of those paradoxical wisdom sayings that we hear from Jesus again and again. Who is blind and who can see? He's playing with it, isn't it? This saying and both these stories about Jesus restoring sight to blind men, I think, can challenge us with interesting questions. What do we see? And where are we blind? And we can hear the challenge on multiple levels. They're the very individual and personal ones, and there's also more communal and societal levels. How do we, like my friend Rick used to say, fail to see our weaknesses and our disabilities? How do we deny our failings and not recognize the ways we need others' help? My mother used to like to quote the line from the Robert Burns poem about the woman with the big fancy hairdo and the fancy clothes who comes into church all full of herself and sits, but the person sitting behind can see the little bug crawling up her poofed up hair and hat. My mother used to say, "Oh, for the gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us." The saying of Jesus makes us realize that if we see, then we are responsible for what we see. So how much of the time do we choose to be blind rather than see what is difficult and painful, what is complicated and even frightening in our lives and in our world? And how much of the time do we have sight, but we have no vision? The proverb says, "Without a vision, the people perish." We let ourselves be discouraged, even skeptical and cynical. We lose hope that in God, healing can happen and transformation is possible. We need vision that reaches forward in hope to see what can be. Vision that catches a glimpse of God at work in the world, always seeking healing and restoration, always working for justice and peace in the midst of the brokenness and the sin of our world. Jesus offers us healing of our sight, the ability to see ourselves honestly and truthfully, and he offers us courage and compassion for ourselves and for those around us. Jesus calls us to see and to capture his vision of what the world is meant to be and what our place is in it. The cry of Bartimaeus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," is the root of one of the oldest prayers in the Christian church, the Jesus Prayer. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Sometimes a Jesus prayer is as simple as simply, "Jesus, mercy." And mercy is not just talking about forgiveness from sin, although it is that. Mercy is not just talking about pity or compassion from God, although it is that. Mercy is about being part of the fullness of God's, of the mutuality of relationship, the relational web. Mercy, God's mercy is the overflowing, the abundance, the generosity, the relationality that we are called to live out of. But when we hang on, when we clench our fists, when we hoard, when we brace ourselves, we are made spiritually blind. The only way to see is to give ourselves to the mercy of God. Jesus, have mercy. Even the "have" in English, I think, messes us up. Jesus, be mercy. Jesus, let us live in mercy. Jesus, let us know the mercy, the abundance of God. Jesus, mercy.